This episode of Market Talk is brought to you by Growmark FS. Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least, but there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic grain and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up-to-date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next.
Bringing you the ag information you need. This is Market Talk, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
And good afternoon. Welcome into Market Talk here on this Friday, July 15th. Great to have you with us once again. Thanks for making us part of your day. I am your host, Jesse Allen, as we near the end of a busy week once again and work through the dog days of summer. We have a lot to discuss on today's show. Appreciate you making us part of your day. Thanks for joining us again. I had a fun day yesterday just outside Des Moines in Johnston, Iowa, with the folks at Corteva AgriScience, and it was great to catch up with them. And here on today's show, we have a jam-packed show for you. Coming up, Ted Seifert of Zahner Ag Hedge joins us here as we try to recap the market trade for the week. A lot of interesting dynamics to discuss. We're going to talk about all those coming up with Ted Seifert here in just a little bit. Also, we are going to have a conversation at the end of the show. We're going to continue looking at the market trade with Nutrien chief economist and head of market research Jason Newton. He's going to join us here on Market Talk to discuss some of the market dynamics this week and some of the global things that we are continuing to watch in the market trade. That is coming up here in a little bit in segment four at the end of the show today. Overall, fairly mixed trade. Wheat going to the downside today. Quarter beans kind of bouncing around, just kind of chopping around here today. It was very interesting. We got an export sale of corn to China this morning. New crop corn, 133,000 metric tons. First sale in quite a while coming in on the Daily Wire. And that's on the back of yesterday, where we saw a pretty dismal weekly export sales for quarter beans. Wheat was a surprise, but overall, weekly export sales were just pretty shaky yesterday. So interesting to see China step in here and buy some corn on this morning's report. Now, as well, just looking at the markets here, energies and the stock market rallying a bit, with crude oil up around $2 a barrel, around that $97, $98 mark. The Dow Jones up a little over 500 points here today as well. So maybe a little bit of easing of fears on Wall Street, and a little bit of us coming back in here to buy some of the break here now that things have calmed down a little bit. It appears the VIX trading still near high levels, the dollar index still setting new highs as well. So a lot to watch here. A lot of economists believe that inflation has reached a short-term peak, though the statistics we've been seeing this week, the CPI, the PPI, and the Fed's upcoming reaction do loom large for the marketplace overall. Earlier here today, I talked with Ryan Moe of StoneX in for Arlen Suderman. We talked to Ryan about midday, got his thoughts on some of the market action we've seen here on this Friday. We start our conversation just talking about the tone in the grain markets overall here on Friday.
Yeah, there's not much of a real feel to the direction of this market this morning. If there is a feeling, though, it is going to be tilted towards the negative. When you look at the weather maps for what could potentially fall as far as rain this weekend, it looks like we could get a nice half inch to inch and a half rain in some very key growing areas that need some rain in Illinois and Indiana. And if those rains materialize, I think what bearishness we're seeing here this morning will be extended into the trade on Sunday night and Monday as well.
Now, talking about export sales, you know, they looked fairly weak yesterday on the weekly report, minus wheat. Here today, we got an export sale of corn to China, and I thought that was very interesting, Ryan.
Yeah, it's interesting from the standpoint of we're not exactly the most competitive grain in the world right now. So anything that we're getting is a bit of a surprise to me. I am forecasting that we are going to end the year with some pretty wimpy export sales, as we saw a massive sell-off yesterday in corn at the Gulf, and we also saw a lot weaker soybean bids as well. So that does not bode well for our exports, which we thought maybe would be strong at the end of the year here. It looks like they're going to end up pretty darn weak.
Well, and as well, we see on the, you mentioned, you know, we're not the cheapest corn in the world, that U.S. dollar, that macro side, more highs in the dollar, hot inflation numbers this week. We're seeing the energy markets and the stock market rebound a little bit here on Friday. What's your thoughts with that macro picture and just all the data and all the news we've seen and all the moves we've seen here this week?
For the ag sector, I think the most important factor to look at is going to be the U.S. dollar. It's kind of like a cartoon character with a giant anvil hanging over their head, and they're holding a scissors with a really thin rope. That's something that folks really need to understand, what the strong dollar does mean to the U.S. export marketplace. And thinking about what that means to you in your local area, it sometimes gets to be a little bit second or third level thinking. But if the dollar continues to be strong, it does make our exports less competitive on the world marketplace. Hence why I'm just a little bit more than surprised about today's export sale announcement. I wish I had better news for all of this to come into a weekend, but it just sure doesn't seem like there's a lot of great news coming into the weekend for the bulls.
And again, that is Ryan Moe of StoneX in for Arlen Suderman here on this Friday as we are watching this market trade very closely. A lot of things to consider, a lot of back and forth between the macro side and the weather forecast as well, as it's anyone's best guess as to what the extended weather is going to look like. It is looking to set up with some of this heat and dryness, though, again, in the western corn belt with maybe some better rain chances in the east, but it's really all going to come down to how the weather situation sets up here the next couple of weeks ahead as we enter the key corn pollination time. So a lot of things to consider, a lot of dynamics in this market trade that are going to move the markets one way or another. I think one of the things to consider, though, and we're going to talk about a lot of these things coming up with Ted Seifert here in just a minute in segment two, but you know, a lot of this spec fund money that has moved out of the markets now, out of the grains, out of the commodities, it's maybe something that's giving us a little bit of a pause and letting some of the fundamentals come back in, hopefully, although, again, we're still facing a high U.S. dollar, et cetera, all these inflation numbers, inflation data hitting the market, but maybe this gives us an opportunity to take a little pause and kind of reorganize and reset things here and start to trade some of the fundamentals, the supply and demand fundamentals, et cetera, in the grain markets, in the livestock trade as well. Definitely, I'm not saying that's the case. I'm not an expert on this. This is why I talk to the experts here on the show, but just some general thoughts and observations I'm getting from hearing from many experts and interested to see the direction of the markets. We're going to dive more into all of this coming up. Ted Seifert, Zahner Ag Hedge, going to join us here on a Friday as we wrap up the week of trade and get Ted's thoughts on what's going on in the markets and the dynamics we're seeing in the market trade. Also coming up later in the show, Nutrien Chief Economist Jason Newton going to join us. So plenty more discussion on the markets coming up next as we continue with more market talk on the way back after this.
Keeping you informed with the latest market information for your operation. Now, back to Market Talk with Jesse Allen.
And joining us now here on Market Talk as we wrap up the week of trade, let's say good afternoon to our good friend Ted Seifert with Zahner Ag Hedge. Ted, what's going on, man? Good to have you back on the show.
Yeah, not much, Jesse. Great to be back. Thanks for having me, man.
Well, Ted, I wondered how I was going to steer our conversation to start today, and I kind of think I want to start. We see a lot of going on in the markets right now, plenty of things to talk about, but it feels like the dynamics in grains is kind of this push-pull between the macro factors and the weather market. Would you agree with that? Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, absolutely, Jesse. I mean, you look back on the last 4 weeks, and you can really say that there have been times in most of those that last 4 weeks where we've not really been trading grain fundamentals. You know, go back to the acreage report. You had, I think, the most bullish soybean acreage report we've ever seen, possibly one of the most bullish soybean reports we've ever seen, just period, right? And yet, you know, less than 24 hours later, we were $1.07 lower than where we were trading 30 seconds after that report came out. In fact, it's one of those reports where if you'd have told me what that report said before the rest of the market got it, I'd say, wow, that might be a limit up report. That might actually be a limit up a day or two, a couple of days. If that report happened last year, oh boy, wow, then you are talking $20 beans. But this is a much different climate. And you know, I think that has to be our biggest takeaway here from the last 2 weeks. this past Sunday night, you had probably the scariest pollination forecast, corn pollination forecast that we've seen since 2012. And we were flying Sunday night. But by the end of the day, Monday, we're only up 4 or 5 cents. That's telling you that we're not really trading weather. And then the report that we had this Tuesday, it really wasn't that bearish. Yeah, our carryover numbers came in a little bit higher than expected, well within the range of guesses, though. And actually, the math that the USDA did on the soybean balance sheet, I kind of walked away from that feeling pretty bullish about soybeans because, you know, the USDA had this sort of rip the Band-Aid off mentality on demand, cutting 65 million bushels of export demand, even with a record amount of new crop sales on the books, and cut the crush 10 million bushels. So you figure, well, that's probably all the heavy lifting they can do on the demand side for now. If we're not at that 51.5 national average yield, let's say we cut a bushel off that. That takes us right down to 150 million bushel carryover. That's really tight. Cut a bushel and a half off that. We're down to 110 million bushel. Oh boy, this might be the most bullish soybean balance sheet that we've seen since the start of this rally 2.5 years ago. Yet here we are, you know, sharply off the highs, well over $2 off the highs now. So that tells you there's more going on, Jesse, and you got to take notice of that. I've been talking about for months, you know, how inflation affects these markets. And, you know, for the past 2 years, we've been not really having to talk about it because it's been going the same direction as grain fundamentals. And so, you know, corn and beans have been going higher with this inflationary undercurrent helping that out. And you know, looking back, you say, well, hey, you know, if I had, and I think I've said this on your podcast before, if I was Rip Van Ted and I fell asleep for 10 years and you handed me a corn balance sheet, I'd say, hey, you know, 1.4, 1.5 billion bushel carryover, that's pretty friendly, pretty tight stocks to usage. I'd say that's 550 to 6.25 corn. But then you tell me we're 750, $8, I'd say, whoa, where did that come from? Well, that's that inflationary undercurrent, you know, that's been part of our markets this entire way. So now for the fact that that's coming out, well, then we're like, well, what is this? Well, okay, it's been there and it's been to our advantage. We have to realize that is a double-edged sword. We're seeing the other side of it right now. The big question is why, you know, why are they getting out of their inflationary hedges? Why are they so negative on commodities right now? Especially when, you know, you saw a 9.1% consumer price index, CPI, and 11.2 producer price index, PPI, which is really, I mean, wow, that's a lot of inflation. Those are the highest numbers we've seen since 1981, over 40 years. So why are they getting out of inflationary hedges? Well, my best answer to that, Jesse, is that we trade futures. We don't trade today's. And while we are seeing lots of signs of inflation today, these guys, the big money, the Wall Street and whatever, they don't see inflation being as strong or being as much of a thing in the future. So they want out of their future hedges, their inflationary hedges that they have in the futures market, right? And why don't they see the inflation in the future? Well, you know, for a couple of reasons. One, CPI, PPI, those numbers are really backward looking. They're reflective because it takes a while for lower input prices to translate into lower prices to the producer, but even more so to the consumer. So really, what are those numbers going to look like in a month or two? And when you look at, you know, a lot of commodities and energies, you know, a lot of things down like 40% off their highs, you say ultimately that those numbers, those inflationary numbers are going to come down because of lower input costs. So that's part of their thinking. The other one is the Fed. You know, the Fed has blood in its eyes and is coming out with haymakers, right? It's been berated in the news media. Many people have really gone as far to say this is the most incompetent Fed that we've ever had in the history of the Fed. And there's kind of reasons to say that. They should have been raising rates back in October, November last year. They waited too long. And then when they did start raising rates, they felt like they had to catch up and they had to prove something. And I still think they feel that way. And unfortunately, with those really strong CPI and PPI numbers and good jobs numbers, I think they not only justified, but they feel like they have to raise at least 3/4, not maybe a point in this next round, which comes at the end of the month, which I don't think they should. I think now would be a very good time for them to take pause. I would leave, at the most, I'd go a 1/4 point, but if I'm the Fed, I leave it alone for this month and see what CPI and PPI do in the next 2 months. And I want to see what July's is and what August is before I really make any strong conclusions.
Sure.
And I don't need them to come back to normal levels. I just need to see them trending in the right direction. If I see that, I'm thinking that, you know, maybe the increase that we've had in rates for now is good, or just, you know, token 1/4 point moves, things like that. But the Fed needs to realize, everybody needs to realize that this inflation wasn't caused by an overcooked commodity or overcooked market economy. You know, we weren't in a bad place before the pandemic, but we weren't really super hot and heavy. It's not, you know, go back to 2007 when we had multiple bubbles kind of all over the place as far as, you know, housing market bubble, subprime market bubble, tech bubble. You know, we had a lot of things going on. The big bubble that we had this time around happened after the pandemic started and after the stimulus money came in. Which, again, this inflation was really caused by the stimulus money that we pumped in during the pandemic. But part of that stimulus money, it seems, went to cryptocurrency. And that's the bubble. And that's something that we've talked about the last few times we've talked. There's been a tremendous amount of wealth destruction that has occurred in the cryptocurrency market. You go back to the mid-November of last year, and the overall market cap of all the cryptocurrencies combined was just under $3 trillion. Now it's about $960 billion. So we've lost more than $2 trillion just poof into thin air in the cryptocurrency market cap. That takes away a big chunk of the stimulus that had been put into the market. Then you look at the stock market down 20%+ since the beginning of the year, erasing all of 2021's gains. That's a big wealth destruction event. So all the stimulus and the money that pumped into the market to create the inflation has been offset by a lot of these massive losses that you see in the cryptocurrency and in stock markets and things like that, which is why I really think the Fed needs to be careful here and, you know, not be out for blood and feel like they have to prove a point. And I really hope they take pause and look at what the whole root of this inflation was and how that's really changed here over the past 6 months or so. But yeah, I mean, to your point, a very long-winded answer for you, Jesse. yes. We hadn't really been focused on grain fundamentals. There's a lot of people, analysts, farmers, you know, people, your normal market, agricultural market participants that have been very frustrated with how these markets have been acting in the face of some really fairly bullish fundamentals. And now that it seems that this inflation off-selling may have taken a bit of a pause, unfortunately, kind of coincides with maybe a little bit less threatening weather, you know, some pretty decent pop-up rains. I mean, a very large area of rain on Friday that had fairly low confidence. I mean, so somewhat of a surprise for the amount of rain. And granted, you know, a lot of places just got 1/4 inch to 1/2 inch, and sure, we could use more. But man, it really feels like a lot of these low percentage chance rain events have actually been happening. A sharp reversal to what it was like in June, where we had high percentage chances that just didn't happen. We missed out on a lot. So it does feel a lot like the weather patterns changed, and you feel like maybe these forecasts are trending weather. And you worry that maybe last Sunday night was our sort of peak weather concern as far as the forecast was, you know, looking into corn pollination. I think soybeans still have a big question mark for August. The longer term forecasts are still a bit scary. But unfortunately, I don't think we were trading grain fundamentals at the time where the grain fundamentals were the most bullish. And now that we're back to being able to trade fundamentals of these individual markets, I'm not sure we have quite the same bullish enthusiasm that we did. So it seems like that was a missed opportunity there to some extent. And I understand the frustration of a lot of people. So I don't know, we'll have to see where we go from here. But you know, the message has been very sharply put out there for us, and that we have to be protecting our downside here. This is a much different year than what we've seen in the past couple of years. This isn't last July where we were, you know, okay, we'll sell cash, but we'll re-own with calls because there's, you know, a tremendous amount of potential and inflation is still building, growing strong. You know, there's really not a whole lot of downside potential. There isn't going to be this demand rationing because of inflation. Well, you take that inflation away and you look at the prices we're at, you realize that, oh boy, here comes the demand rationing. And the last time we were up at these or better price levels when we didn't have that very strong inflationary undercurrent was 2012. And we know what happened there. We took 4 or 5 years to come back and buy that demand back. Hopefully that's not the scenario we're looking at here going forward.
Well, that's Ted Seifert with Zahner Ag Hedge. We'll have more with Ted coming up after the break as we continue with more market talk on the way right after this.
When it comes to protecting your investment in fuel and diesel-powered equipment, Dieselex Gold from FS clearly beats other diesel fuels. New detergents disperse contaminants to prevent sludge that plugs filters and causes unexpected downtime. And now, better moisture handling chemistry helps ensure your fuel stays dry, reducing microbial growth and fuel line freeze-ups. So when you're deciding what fuel to use, choose Dieselex Gold, absolutely the best fuel to power and protect your diesel equipment. Contact your local FS Energy specialist today or visit GoFurtherWithFS.com.
Keeping you informed with the latest market information for your operation. This is Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And we're back here on Market Talk. Jesse Allen with you. Ted Seifert of Zahner Ag Hedge, our guest today. Ted, I want to shift gears. I'm going to talk China a little bit. We're hearing about stimulus there in their economy. We're hearing a lot about just the poor performance of the Chinese economy. And I wonder about that in regards to exports. You know, we did see an export sale of corn this morning to China, a bit surprising. But our weekly export sales have been fairly dismal. And one has to wonder what that dynamic's going to look like moving forward here. Will we see China be buyers of our commodities or not? What are your thoughts there with that dynamic?
So that is the hope, Jesse, is that, one, hopefully this is in 2008. And I think there's a lot of reasons why we should think it's not. And two, we're hoping that the Chinese stimulating their economy does good things for the global economy. But in particular, it's exciting for the grains because, hey, maybe that means more exports for us. But what I will say about that is that for as late as our Fed was for raising rates, I mean, they took too long. You know, they should have been doing it back in October, November. You can say the opposite about China. They waited too long to add the stimulus, right? This should have been happening when they were going through their big lockdowns. And it was really putting a lot of pressure on their economy because now you've got a whole lot of Chinese citizens that aren't paying their rents, that aren't paying their mortgages. There's some bad stuff going on there. And the stimulus that they are putting in is sort of a last ditch effort to try to save that. I don't know if it works. It might be too little too late. But if it does help anything, grain should be the beneficiary. To your point, though, I mean, we really have not seen good export sales lately. We desperately need to see that pick up. Hopefully the USDA is wrong about lowering next year's export sales on the balance sheet. But until we see the proof in the pudding, Jesse, it's really hard to say that those sales are going to be there going forward.
Well, I know as well, we were talking about this before we went on the air, the July contracts going off the board. We continue to watch cash basis here in the U.S. remain pretty stout, pretty strong, despite the market sell-off. And it feels like it's a couple different camps here. We have some producers who forward contracted, and they're worried about, what this weather situation is going to look like here. They're worried that they may be oversold some of their new crop. And then you have some folks holding on to old crops still. And part of the reason why we saw, you know, July corn holding such a premium. And to me, there's a couple different things going on with the cash trade, old crop and new crop, but there's a lot going on there as well right now, Ted, in the grains.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the reasons why we don't feel like this is 2008, or at least one of the reasons why I don't think this is 2008 is because that cash market has stayed really rather strong. And as far as the guys that are worried that they may have oversold, i.e., you know, a lot of my guys in the Dakotas, well, they're feeling a lot better about that now. Prices are much lower. They might get saved on that, and you know, they might just get let out of those contracts or be able to fill them later at a later date. But the big one that you mentioned is, you know, I just don't understand who's still sitting on old crop cash, because the market structure is just screaming that you need to move that old crop. You know, that July contract held on to strength basically to the very end, and carried what, $1 or $1.25 premium over the September. Man, sell the cash, come in and buy September calls, and you know, then you have no risk to the downside. And if the September gets up to the price levels that the July did, well, then you're going to make more money on the calls even. So yeah, wow, it was just screaming at you, you know, make the sales. But now look, you know, September is really losing ground to the December. So you know, September, which is kind of, I don't know if should use this word on air, but bastard, which I mean that because it's sort of a fatherless contract. It doesn't really know if it's old crop or new crop. So it's kind of hard to make these comparisons a little bit, but that CEFD spread is basically back to even, you know, in a year where we have tight old crop stocks, that September should take on more of an old crop stance and really have a nice solid premium over the December. And it's not doing that. So it's saying that the cash market is loosening up, and that a lot of bushels had come out, you know, with that strength that we had in July. If you're still sitting on old crop, I mean, I think the longer you wait, the more risk that you're really putting yourself in, unnecessarily, really.
Ted, we should talk a little bit in the livestock trade as well, wrapping up the week. Any thoughts on this protein sector? I know weekly export sales are pretty dismal for both beef and pork, but I mean, we've seen good strength in the hog market. We've seen cattle try to come around, especially the feeder market. What are your thoughts on the protein sector this week?
You know, we had a real nice breakout to the upside in feeder cattle earlier in the week. And that kind of coincided with a whole lot of pressure that we're seeing in the corn market on Tuesday, and then kind of fell flat there Thursday and Friday. It really wasn't able to continue to follow through the upside, and we kind of returned back to the scene of the crime. You know, what was resistance is now acting as support. So that's a bit disappointing. Cattle kind of doing the same. You know, they didn't quite have the same breakout that feeders did, but you know, we're at the higher end of the range at least. It kind of fell flat there Thursday and Friday. Part of that was the export sales number, marketing your loan. Don't like seeing that. But also, you saw a big turn there on Thursday with the stock market under quite a bit of pressure. So now we're back to worrying, you know, are people going to want to spend money on high-priced beef if their 401ks are getting shellacked? we kind of been going back and forth with, hey, crude oil and unleaded gasoline are down, so maybe we can spend more at the grocer. But then we look over the stocks and we say, oh, well, maybe we won't spend any money because we're worried, or maybe we won't have it. So there is that sort of constant push and pull on the demand side, or what we think is going to be there for demand for beef going forward. I will say all the heat that we've got in the plains, though, we've got weights that are already below the five-year average. That's certainly not going to help. But on the other side of that, you've got guys that are coming to market sooner because, you know, the pasture's not there. Feedstocks are still, even though off their highs, they're still really expensive. So up front, you're going to have a fair amount of product coming to market, I think, but that's going to leave you with sort of a vacuum for animals later on. The question is, will that demand be there or not? So yeah, it's we're stuck in a range for cattle kind of, and it's because we've got this sort of push-pull uncertainty about what's going on going forward. The hogs, I really like the hog trade, because if we are headed to this, you know, recession, and if the stock market continues to go under pressure and people are tightening their belts and not spending as much money, you know, you still have really relatively high priced beef, but then you look at the cuts next to it, the pork chops and shoulders, really very reasonable, comparatively speaking. And so you wonder, is pork going to be the recessionary trade? Is that something that will actually build a fair amount of demand if, we do continue to see an advance towards a recession, right? So I don't know. Although I don't know if there's a whole lot of fundamental reason to be super bullish on hogs right here. Again, like you said, exports were really not great. I mean, they weren't a marketing year low like cattle were, but they were well off of what we had been seeing. China wasn't in there. Domestic demand has been solid, but not amazing yet. But again, you wonder if some of the speculative crowd are kind of thinking, hey, this, if we are headed to recession, we look for ways to capitalize on that. And you wonder if pork's maybe getting some attention for that. I think it should.
Well, Ted, before we run out of time, real quick, any final thoughts you want to share with us on this Friday?
Something we didn't touch base on was energies, right? And there's a lot of reasons why I think energy should be coming down, and we are, well off our highs. But we talk about the inventory buildup that's happening in a lot of the major retailers, Kohl's, Home Depot, Target, Walmart, things like that. And what does that mean? If they have burdensome inventories, meaning they've got a lot of product in store, they're not having to bring new stuff in. What does that mean? That means less truck traffic. That means less diesel demand. We just saw that people are choosing to drive less. Unleaded gasoline demand down 12.4% year over year. And by the way, last year this time we weren't completely open, especially in a lot of the blue states. So this year should have been way above. Demand should have been much higher, but it's not because of the pricing. So you're seeing that demand destruction happening for various reasons in the energies market, and that had been one of the things that had been kind of propping commodities up as a whole, even though we had been seeing a lot of this inflation off-selling. If crude really accelerates to the downside more so than it has, I think you really have to get a little bit worried about commodities as a whole, where grains might be going. And I'd like to say that this inflation selling is subsided and we have a chance to bounce here. But again, watch that crude oil market. If it really starts to fall apart, I think that's the canary in the coal mine.
Well, Ted, great stuff as always. And I know if folks need some advice, they can reach out to you and the team there at Zahner Ag Hedge very easily. How can they do that?
Yeah, my direct line is 312-277-0113. You can also find us on the web at www.zahner, that's Zahner.com. You can read a bit about us. You can also sign up for our morning Ag Hedge newsletter, which is a newsletter, not a recommendations letter. The recommendations come from us, and they're tailor-made to our clients individually. And if you're on Twitter, I'm at the Ted Spread. Been talking a lot about cars and ethanol lately.
Yeah, all sorts of the fun stuff on Twitter. And of course, we appreciate the time as always, sir. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again soon.
My pleasure, Jesse. You have a wonderful weekend as well, and we will talk to you again soon, man. Look forward to it.
And again, that is Ted Seifert with Zahner Ag Hedge joining us today here on Market Talk. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Nutrien Chief Economist Jason Newton. He will join us as we continue our market discussion on this Friday. Back with more Market Talk on the way right after this.
Bringing you the ag information you need. This is Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And joining us now, Nutrien Chief Economist and Head of Market Research, Jason Newton is with us. Jason, great to have you on the show today. How are you, sir?
I'm doing really well, Jesse. How are you doing?
I am good. I appreciate you making some time to join us here today. Let's jump right in and talk about the market trade going on here this week. It's been another busy week. We had a July WASDE report earlier in the week. We've seen a lot of the macroeconomic factors in the market, the CPI, the PPI, some hot inflation numbers there. And then you look at the trade kind of heading to the weekend, fairly quiet and choppy. So just overall, with everything we've seen kind of flood the market here this past week, what are your thoughts in general on the grain markets right now and just the kind of tone in the market trade, Jason?
Yeah, I mean, it's not unusual seasonally to see some downward pressure on prices, and that's definitely been the trend that we've seen of late. And I think you hit it on the head. And there's a lot of macroeconomic noise that's having an impact as well. And we've seen, of course, a big liquidation by speculators across the grain markets over the past month or so that's contributed to that pressure. The WASDE this week was fairly uneventful in terms of fundamental news, and basically everything in there was according to expectations, or roughly in line with expectations. And the market will trade, I think, from this point going forward, the fundamentals and the crop production prospects will become more important as we go through this weather market in the second half of July and into August. I think fundamentally, our view hasn't changed. We came into 2022 on a global scale with very tight supply and demand balances across the major grains and oilseeds. And the production potential in Ukraine really limits the ability of the global market to boost inventories in 2022. And so relative to pretty much any year, as we sit here in the middle of July, our outlook for the second half of 2022 and into 2023 remains fairly positive.
Weather, of course, is going to be a big story. And this is typically when we trade a weather market. You know, we're seeing this high pressure ridge kind of set up over much of the Western Corn Belt. And one has to wonder, you know, we're getting this during this key corn pollination time. If this lasts through July into August, one has to wonder what that would do for our markets moving forward. And, you know, maybe some of this premium we've lost with the spec funds getting out, you know, can we put it back in realistically? And I think that's what maybe a lot of traders are kind of weighing back and forth right now, Jason.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think in the weather market, I mentioned it's choppy. I see volatility driven by swings in the forecast, but we're going to see over the next couple of weeks how that dryness develops, and spotty rains and precipitation events will, of course, have an impact. But the temperatures are something that we're watching closely. And I think, especially in some of the southern Corn Belt and southern areas, we've seen high temperatures already over the past week or two. And we know that periods of high temperatures during pollination, at the very least, limit yield potential. And so I think that would be critical to watch over the coming weeks.
Jason, I should ask as well, as you hear from farmers and talk to farmers and ranchers across the country, I know supply chain issues have been a big deal, and, you know, issues with input costs rising, et cetera, and the inflation story that we're seeing, you know, record inflation, 9.1%, 41-year high here this week. As you hear from farmers and ranchers and look at all of this inflationary data, I mean, what is the biggest concern? Is it the cost of inputs rising? Is it worry about getting our crop, you know, where it needs to go with supply chain issues? I mean, what are some of the biggest things you're hearing as you talk to producers right now, Jason?
Yeah, well, I think the number one most important factor for grower profitability is crop prices. And so the decline that we've seen in across the futures markets, well, prices are still fairly strong historically, but that decline has a big impact on prospective grower margins. And then the next piece on the supply chain and inflation, I mean, from labor to fuel to various crop inputs, everything is increasing in terms of costs. And so that's a concern. Certainly from a fertilizer perspective, we've seen nitrogen prices decline from the high levels, and so that's I mean, it's a high risk market. It's highly volatile historically, and of course, Nutrien's a big nitrogen producer as well. And we as we look at the second half of the year, there's a number of factors from a macro perspective that are supportive there, and then phosphate and potash prices as well remain relatively firm, and so those input costs continue to be higher. I think from a supply chain perspective, some of the issues have been reduced over time. As we look at some, there's definitely still some tightness among certain active ingredients from a crop protection perspective, but there has been some improvement in some products, which is good, as I think growers' main concern is being able to ensure that they had the access to the supplies of the products they need. I think some of those issues didn't end up as bad as what maybe some of the initial expectations were, which is positive.
Well, with that, Nutrien Chief Economist and Head of Market Research, Jason Newton, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll hope to talk to you again real soon.
Okay, thanks, Jesse. Sounds good.
And that's going to do it for Market Talk here on this Friday. Thanks to Ted Seifer joining us here, as well as Jason Newton. Coming up on Monday, Dwayne Bussey of Bolt Marketing will join us. Have a fantastic weekend. I'm Jesse Allen. Talk to you on Monday.